Nursing is a profession that we've all got a superficial understanding of, but what is it really like to deal so intimately with life and death whilst also navigating the vagaries of a struggling health system on a daily basis? To answer this question and many more, we're joined by ICU nurse in Waterford Regional Hospital, and she's also the Research Ethics Committee Coordinator for the HSC Southeastern Area, that's Caroline Lamb. We've got the ward manager for the paediatric ward in the South Tipperary General Hospital in Clonmel, Olivia Butler. And finally, registered nurse prescriber at Rossbirkin Medical Centre in New Ross, Mary Jordan. Ladies, you're all very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you for coming in. And it's really, really good. We do the industry sector, but we don't often get to look at what we try to do here is get an understanding of somebody's job. And, you know, because we all have different understandings of what jobs are like. So maybe I could start with you, Caroline Lamb. You were brought up in the UK. How did you manage to get into nursing? What was it that attracted you to the profession?
Well, I suppose I did my schooling and I passed the exams and I had the grades that I needed. I wanted to go into a career, really, a profession that would sort of stand me for the long term. I loved studying the sciences, you know, biology and what have you. And I also liked being a part of a, you know, a big group. I'm a very sociable person. And so nursing appealed to me. The local hospital were advertising for student nurses, and so I applied, and sort of that was the start of my journey.
Okay, and you really do, Caroline, do you not, have to have a huge personal investment? You've got to invest a lot of yourself in the job of nursing.
Oh, you do, yeah. I suppose you have to, one of the key things is communicating with patients and their families, and you have to develop a rapport, and in order to develop a good rapport with people, you have to invest an awful lot of yourself in that. Aside from that, you obviously have your experience, you have your training, you do specialist training and further education degrees and master's degrees, and they all help to sort of hone your practice. But yeah, communication is probably the key, you know, that's all day, every day.
Okay, I'm going to come back to the educational aspect, sure, in a second, because you have an ICU degree, you have a master's and you have a four-year degree, you know, and you're learning all the time. And I think that's one of the big things that may be undersold about the profession. Let me bring in my next guest, Olivia Butler. She's the ward manager for the paediatric ward in South Tipperary General Hospital. Olivia, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Now, how did you get into nursing?
I was always interested in nursing, Bobby. When I did my leaving cert, I had enough points and I went for the interviews at the time, and I was lucky enough to get into Waterford Regional Hospital.
Okay.
I did my general nurse training there and I really enjoyed it. And it was there in Waterford that when I was on the paediatric unit that I said, that's what I want to do. I would like to be a paediatric nurse. So when I qualified from Waterford, I worked there for a while, then I applied to go to Crumlin and I got in on my to do paediatric nurse training there, and a higher diploma with UCD as well, and qualified there, stayed there for a short length of time, but due to other commitments I came back down to Clonmel, the paediatric unit, started off as a staff nurse and worked my way, and now I'm the manager of the ward. I'm there actually 16-17 years now.
Okay, and is there having worked in both, would there be a huge difference in the environment in, say, Crumlin Paediatrics as there would be in the same department in Clonmel?
The thing about Crumlin, you know, if you did Crumlin in every place in the country, it would be great. You know, you have specialised paediatric, you're 10 steps from ICU, you're 10 steps from cardiology, whereas down in Clonmel or any paediatric unit in the country, the team that you have for any emergency is the team that is on with you that day. So if we have a very sick child who comes in and they need to be transferred to ICU in Crumlin or Temple Street, because we don't do paediatric ICUs, you know, down the country, it's the team that's on with you. So you have to know your team and you have to know your capabilities, okay, that you're able to stabilise the child and transfer them safely to Dublin.
Okay, so the principle of regional paediatrics with specialist paediatrics in urban area is okay, is it?
It is.
In terms of just the infrastructure.
It is, because we wouldn't have the numbers for ICU or that, or would any the patients that need ICU any other units down the country. So, you know, it makes sense that they're going to the specialist units in in Dublin. But we do provide shared care, oncology, cardiology. So people, you know, who children who might have leukemia, that they come into us weekly for bloods, or if they're sick, they can come into their local hospital and then just go to Dublin for their specialised treatment. And that's an excellent service.
OK. Just before I bring in our next guest, you talk about good days and bad days in nursing. A good day is when you get to see a very sick child improve or perhaps leave the hospital having recovered from a serious illness. On a bad day, you may have to deliver the news with a doctor that a child has leukemia, or that those kind of everyday events. How do you actually deal with that psychologically?
It is tough, and it's very challenging. But like you know, you're a nurse, you're a professional. You have to go in and you have to be able to support that family through that very difficult time. And you know, you have to empathise with them. You know, and like you do get involved, and you know, it does affect you. I find, you know, you have your colleagues around you; they're a great resource. You talk to each other, and I live 20 miles from Clonmel, so I find my journey home actually very.
You kind of come down, or you de-stress.
You don't want to be bringing home stuff, you know. But you have to be there because to support families through difficult times.
Let's bring in our third guest, Mary Jordan. Mary is a registered nurse prescriber at Rossbearcon Medical Centre in New Ross, and she's branch secretary for the Waterford branch of the Irish Practice Nurses Association. Mary, you better educate me and tell me what a registered nurse prescriber is.
Okay. On top of my general training and experience, I have prescriptive authority, which means that I can actually write prescriptions independently of the doctor.
Okay, that's interesting. And you now work in private practice. You work in a, I suppose you have worked in the HSE, but you're slightly detached from that now in that there's only three of you in the practice. Is that right?
The doctor, the receptionist and myself.
Okay. And because one of the sort of underlying things I want to get back to is education. Why can't you do certain things that a doctor, like the difference between a doctor and a nurse? You know, at some level, there shouldn't be a whole lot of difference, but there appears to be to the general public.
I think that is changing with our continuing professional development. We are becoming more autonomous in our roles, provided we are still working within our scope of practice. For instance, I did my training to be able to prescribe medications. So I no longer have to get a prescription from a GP to write to administer.
And is that resisted by others in the profession? That nurses could actually write prescriptions?
No, very much the way forward.
Okay.
And the GPs very much see the benefit of that. At the moment there are about 1,800 nurses working in general practice. We are only numbering about 26 at the moment that are registered nurse prescribers. Most of the registered nurse prescribers in the country are hospital based. So it's a growing career opportunity for nurses working in general practice.
Now, you are an interesting, you're a very interesting person, Mary Jordan, in that your interest in nursing came out of being a fan of MASH. You thought you might like to go into the army and then into nursing, but you've worked in places like Saudi Arabia, you worked in Boston, you worked in London. An Irish qualification as a nurse, is it internationally recognised?
Very much so, and very much respected abroad.
Okay.
That we are always seen as being very highly educated and highly skilled and highly adaptable to where we are working. And everywhere that I have ever worked, I've brought something back as well. And as well as travelling for work, I have also had the privilege of being able to volunteer and work in places like Uganda with AIDS charities for children.
Well done.
And amazing. They have absolutely nothing, but yet all you hear all day are giggling and laughing.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it, that you can be happy with not a
with
lot.
With nothing.
Yeah. Okay, I have three nurses in studio, folks. If anybody would like to send in a text, 53106, we'll answer any of your questions if we can. It's not often we have the luxury and, again, the professionalism of three nurses. I want to go back to you, Caroline Lamb, because I wanted to just maybe talk about the degree of education that you have, and that maybe, and this isn't a criticism of the profession, but maybe that nurses aren't the best people about talking themselves up, about championing their own PR cause, and that really you are hugely educated, you're learning all the time, and you do serious, serious work that often I don't think is valued by the public in a way that it actually should be.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I suppose from a general perspective, if, you know, relatives or patients say, or, you know, thank you very much, you know, if you've worked really hard and you've had a good outcome, we tend to say as nurses, oh, don't worry, it was nothing. When in fact, it is a great deal. And we really should be, you know, sort of speaking ourselves up a little bit more. From an academic perspective, it's lifelong learning, nursing. You do, currently you do your 4-year training, which is a degree programme. Then in my case, you specialise. So I specialise courses in intensive care and in coronary care. And then you go on to further education if you wish. So I have a master's degree in healthcare ethics. And I suppose to give an example of how that all works out in practice, your basic nursing degree gives you an understanding of just the general system
of
the body and
patient.
Exactly, yeah. It gives you a good overview.
Yeah.
The intensive care degree then allows you to look at the specifics. So if I take a routine patient, we get maybe somebody with a septicemia, which is blood poisoning. The general nursing would allow us to know about the different systems of the body. The intensive care nursing aspect allows me to look at the more detailed aspects. If they have a low blood pressure or their kidneys are failing or their breathing's compromised, I know what sort of medications, what sort of fluids, what sort of treatments needed, whether they need dialysis. And then sort of the further education sort of tips into the research element of things. All healthcare is driven by research, so all the latest research dictates what is currently the best practice.
Okay.
So we work on those sort of things. So it does all translate into practice.
Okay.
And it is a very high-tech environment. You have to be very well educated.
And just before I bring Olivia back in, you worked in the NHS. Does every country have problems with healthcare? It's like when we often listen to the daily, you know, thing about the HSE and this and that, like, is it kind, and they're all saying, oh, it's better in Sweden, but is it really? I would challenge that there's probably problems in every healthcare.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think healthcare in some respects, it's a caring profession, but it is a business as well. And there are finite resources, you know, so there's always going to be limitations on what you can have, what structures you can have and what you can do. But I suppose across the board, wherever you work, whether it's the UK or Sweden or Ireland, you just have to do the very best with what you have,
okay,
really, you know, so the patient gets the best outcome.
Olivia, just to bring you back in, you know, the system, we talked about it there, the HSE, the politics, the bureaucracy, you know, and again, not to be negative here, like, there is a work to rule going to happen next Tuesday in protest over staffing levels in the Irish health system. Somebody told me that we're 3,000 nurses short of where we should be. When you get into Clonmel every day, like, how much of your day is caught up in all that stuff rather than in actual pure healthcare?
To be honest, Bobby, when you arrive in, you deal with what's in front of you.
So you're not a lot, then, is what you're saying.
No, you face whatever, and you work with what you have, to be honest, and you do your best, you know, and that's what every nurse in the country is doing at the minute. And we're hoping that this work to rule will, you know, improve the nurse-patient ratio, and that, you know, that nurses, you know, will be able to focus more nurses per patient, you know.
And how angry do you get when you see young nurses coming into the profession, you know, being offered less money on the basis that, you know, does that make nursing blood boil?
Any student nurse who's been accepted, you know, you nearly need 500 pints now to get into nursing. You know, it's quite a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it is unfair that their pay is reduced compared to others. But I know Minister for Health has said he will restore that, and he is restoring it, and that is a positive. And we just need now that they will support nurses who are in Ireland and working in further education and training, and hopefully get the nurses back into the hospitals in the country.
Okay, I have a couple of texts here I want to read out. The first one says, I realise the nurses now champion their ability to write prescriptions, but I know of an instance where a GP secretary is doing that on a regular basis. We'll leave that for a minute. Thanks to those wonderful nurses and your valued professionalism from the bottom of our hearts. That's from Tim O'Sullivan. And another texter says, I've never written into News Talk, but I'm listening to these three amazing, powerful and humble professional nurses. And it makes me so proud to be Irish and so proud to hear how hard they work and how are they so well respected abroad. Thank you to your guests. No, that's a nice one.
That's lovely. Thank you.
And as somebody who was actually on that HSE journey that was in there, I've seen firsthand what nurses do. And I that's why I was delighted to have you in here today, because I think we need to herald and applaud the work you do. Can I go back to you, please, Mary, and ask about the business that you're in New Ross? It is a business. Again, you must be very busy with just three of you there, and you must be have to be, I suppose, a great all-rounder, do you?
Very much so. I mean, I'm always amused when I see a job advertisement for a practice nurse. They will invariably mention taking blood, giving childhood vaccinations and smear tests, when the reality of nursing in general practice is much more exciting and diverse than that. We meet patients at all stages of their journey from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
So we are masters of all.
And do you see eventually as the profession sort of, you know, emerges, do you see a transfer of the work that happens in hospitals into more areas like where you work in healthcare, in private healthcare?
It's ideally set up for that, provided it's properly resourced.
Yeah.
We are very, very well educated and qualified and experienced. So a lot of what presents at an A&E department or to a hospital should and could be managed in general practice once the resources are there.
Yeah. Olivia, I just want to go back to you maybe to sort of wrap things up. That you talked about there about diverting, about having something else in your life to de-stress. We know that you're a Waterford footballer, and you had the inglorious honour of being the first Waterford female player to be sent off in an All-Ireland. Is that right? You have to tell us that.
Not just the first Waterford female player, the first female player to be sent off from an All-Ireland final at Croke Park.
Something you didn't know about Olivia Butler, folks.
Yeah.
But go on, tell us the story. You may as well.
It was unfair.
I don't know. It was many years ago. We were playing in one of our All-Ireland finals. I was playing with Waterford, and first buckle of the player I was on, I was running after the ball to get it. She tripped and fell on the ground, but she caught onto my leg, so, and she got up. So then I caught onto her leg, so he booked the two of us. The next instant, then it was second half. Jenny Greener, a great footballer from Monaghan, was running up the soloing up the pitch. I was fast, so I said I'd run after her to try and stop her. Now, hand on heart, my leg clipped her leg as she was running back, and down she fell. Second, he booked me, sent off.
There you go.
I think it meant the 9 o'clock news.
Hold your head in shame. Well, listen, ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your frankness, for your honesty, and for your actual absolute professionalism. And the texts coming in here absolutely validate that. So keep doing what you're doing. And thank you all so much. And just
thank
to say, our guests were Caroline Lamb, ICU nurse at Waterford Regional Hospital, Olivia Butler, former footballer for Waterford and ward manager of paediatric unit there in Clonmel, and Mary Jordan, registered nurse prescriber at Ross Barkland down there in New Ross. Thank you all so much.
Thanks.